on campus
and online.
This
is URN.
Hi, I'm Scarlett and I'm here with Erin, Cora and Izzy, and we're at the Reclaim the Night rally in Nottingham. We're going to try and find some women at the march to talk to about why they're here and the importance of this event.
I'm here with Gemma and Yaz. And guys, how have you been finding it so far this evening? And also, you guys are handing out posters. Can you tell us more what's on your posters?
So they're advertising our campaign rally on Tuesday, the 25th of October from 12 till 2 p.m, campaigning for mandatory consent training at the University of Nottingham, which other universities have already done for ages. In particular, Trent University has been doing it for 5 years. So we should really be, you know, training our students in consent as well.
Yeah, so we're here with UON SAS, but this is also with Sexpression and Women's Network, Student Voice, and just the SU officers. Basically, so we have an open letter going at the moment that Sexpression started that you can sign on any of those people's Instagrams. Basically, an open letter to Shira West to listen to our campaign. You know, if they don't, we're rallying on Tuesday, and that's the idea.
And why was it, did you feel like it was important for you both to be here in person tonight?
Well, I myself am a survivor of sexual assault, and I think that the kind of rape culture in Nottingham and at the university, specifically in a particular society that I was part of, all contributed to that not having any repercussions for kind of the person that did it to me, and I just want that to change. And also, I know a lot of other people that have had similar things, and it's very frustrating, and it's nice to feel like we can actually do something about it.
I also think it's important in person because we got these letters, right, and we have like hundreds of people who signed it. But I think hundreds of names on a page kind of mean nothing, especially to like a big organisation like the uni. They can scroll past names and it doesn't affect them at all. And yet when you have hundreds of students outside your uni fighting with placards, I think it makes a lot more of a difference. And I think it shows more unity amongst the people and how much we want change at the uni. And it just, I think, puts more pressure on Shira West than just signing a letter, unfortunately, does.
I think especially the fact that a lot of us are missing important stuff like teaching university stuff to come shows that, and it shows that actually it's a really important thing. It's not just, oh, it would be nice if we had this. Like, it's absolutely life-changing. People lose their university years and many years beyond if they're affected by somebody who doesn't know how to ask for consent. We just want to show that it's really important.
I'm here with Poppy Reed. Pitt, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes, brilliant. At the Reclaim the Night rally and march that is happening in Nottingham this Saturday, 22nd of October. Poppy, what has brought you here tonight in support of the march?
I mean, we're here really with a show of solidarity for every woman, a person who's experienced misogynistic oppression, who has simultaneously experienced violence against themselves because of that fact, because they're women, because they're empathetic, that sort of stuff. And also, you know, like, we're here because this, obviously, this march began back in 1977 as a thing against the Yorkshire Ripper murders back in the day, but it's still going on now, 50 years later. So we're here to take a stand, we're here to say, we're fucked off, enough is enough, please, can somebody actually bally up, do something, put some proper measures into place where we don't have to do this more properly here. We don't have to feel that in 2022 we feel like we haven't come enough or far enough in the last 50 years since 77, where we're still feeling like we have to do an annual march to say, basically, please stop hurting, is what it comes down to. It's a march for violence against women, and we're saying, no, stop it, cut it out, why is that?
Thank you for that very informative answer. And you mentioned about having procedures and measures put in place to kind of make the streets safer in Nottingham for women. Are there any ideas you think the Nottingham City Council could implement, or any ways just Nottingham in general could improve to ensure women feel safer at night time?
Well, obviously my niche is spiking and nights out, really. So I can speak on that most eloquently, probably, more than any other subject. Like, for example, I would love to see all venues across Nottingham, best we can, do some safety training. Stuff like the Safe Place Project, or even like the Egalitarian, do a great training course. Like, it's time for venues to take a little bit more responsibility about what happens in their venues. And also, like, broader speaking, not just Nottingham, but like across the board, it would be really great to see spiking made a crime. which is something that is being considered on the 28th of October. But like, how long have we been talking about this now? And it's only now being considered on the 28th by a Home Secretary that none of us, we don't even know who's going to be fucking considering it, because the government is like shitting themselves right now. So it's all very uncertain and extremely frustrating. And there was a report about spiking, like how the government can, you know, take measures to improve this problem. Stuff like, you know, mandating training within venues, and the government has said, oh, we're not actually going to try and enforce a mandate, we're just going to recommend a mandate. And I don't think that's good enough, it's not going far enough. Clearly these venues need the push, they need an incentive, they need a stick or a carrot, something. Something needs to be done by the government. There needs to be a bigger push to make this happen, and we're not seeing that at the moment. On the 26th, who knows? But even spiking being made a crime has its own pitfalls. Like, that's still not going to solve the problem. It's a very small step, and it's a very small step that has taken us a fucking long time to even get on the table, which is really
hard. And do you think that by having marches and protests like Reclaim the Night across the country and just in Nottingham alone is a push, one way to push them in the right direction?
Yeah, it's definitely one way to push them in the right direction. I think, obviously, like, ultimately, I think marches like this, they're more of a show of solidarity than anything else, to be honest. Like, I think I know that, you know, 24 hours, the government are going to be like, oh shit, I've missed a trick here, you know, it's time to wise up a bit. They're not, but all of us being here, all of us sharing the same experiences and feeling the same passion for all of these issues, that counts for something, and there's no discount. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. And will we see you holding a banner tonight?
You will see me holding a banner. Hopefully with some other people who are a little bit late, but in theory you will see me.
Are we allowed to have a little sneak peek into what it says, if you remember?
Yes. Whip her out.
No.
To hide the fat that I smoke. I think it says, we deserve or we demand safety. Pretty sure that's what it says.
So Poppy is just getting out a giant,
fumbling with her massive banner right
a giant pink banner, and it is very colourful, full of hearts, and the writing is in red. And she was correct, so
yeah,
we deserve safety.
There we go, I think we can prove it out now. We deserve safety.
So thank you so much for getting that out for us to see.
Oh, my
and
pleasure.
For letting me ask you some questions this evening. And enjoy the march.
We've managed to line up Daisy, the Student Union's community officer, and we're going to ask her why she's at the rally.
Hi, I'm here with Daisy, and I'd like to know why you're here today.
I'm here today because I am female, I identify as female, and this is obviously a really important issue to women. I really care about making the city as safe as possible for women and anyone who feels vulnerable in the nighttime economy. I'm also the SU community officer, so I'm on a lot of committees with the police and the council and the venues trying to make this city a safer place. So obviously this is a really important event for pushing that forward, and I thought it was really important for me to be here.
What sort of initiatives are being put in place to make this city safer for women?
So from an SU point of view, all of our contracts written with the venues that we work with, so that's primarily Crisis and Ocean, has a list of things that we think make them safer for women, including you know, wellbeing spaces in the clubs, but also the availability of anti-spiking devices, and also making sure that a lot of students are aware of our safer taxi scheme, which gets them home safely without them having to pay for it. It will get any student home, and then they can pay later at the SU. That's the kind of stuff that I've been working on anyway.
This stuff sounds all like super great, but part of the issue is making sure that people are aware of all these initiatives. I've never heard of any of these before, yeah. But they're so useful and so important. What work is the SU doing to bring these to the attention of the general university?
So we're currently working on a joint campaign with Trent, basically designing a poster that's going to go up in hopefully every toilet cubicle in the clubs in the city that says this is how you get home safely if you're in a bit of a pickle. But also we're doing lots of work on TikTok at the moment, wanting to get this information out to students because it's really important that they know about it in order to be safe.
Thank you. Can you show me what's on your banner?
It says girls just want to have equal rights.
Very, very true. Thank you, Daisy, so much for talking to us. We were also able to interview Nadia Whittam MP, who gave a speech at the end of the march.
So we listened to your speech and we just wanted to ask you, what made you choose to come here tonight and deliver such a powering speech for everyone here?
I've always come to Reclaim the Night and marched every year, like long before I became an MP, but it was a real privilege to be here tonight and to be able to speak and to follow on from so many other women who spoke so powerfully about their experiences and resistance and liberation for all women.
Thank you. And why do you think it's so important that Reclaim the Night happens every year, and what influence do you think it could have?
I wish it didn't need to happen, but you only need to look at the statistics of women who are harassed, assaulted, raped, murdered to know that it's still so much needed, because women, we're always told, aren't we, that we have to change our behaviour to stop this from happening to us. But the truth is, it can happen anywhere. It can happen in our workplaces, on the streets, in our homes, in our places of education. And that's because what needs to happen is men need to change their behaviour. And yeah, maybe it's not all men, but it is all women. And that's why it's so important for us to keep taking to the streets and keep demanding liberation and an end to patriarchal violence and misogyny.
So you mentioned statistics, and one that I know is that 99.7% of women experience repeated sexual offences. So that can be rapes, sexual assaults, harassment in the street. What do you think needs to be changed across the country, or even just in Nottingham itself, on a political and institutional level to tackle it?
So much needs to change. We need cultural change. That is basically saying that men need to change their behaviour, not telling women to do increasingly ridiculous things like flag down a bus instead of getting into a police car. We also need proper funding for domestic and sexual violence services. And we need material change as well, so things like proper living wage for everyone. That would limit the impact of financial abuse. We need the Domestic Violence Act to include migrant women, because at the moment it doesn't, and that traps many migrant women in abusive relationships.
Yes, and I completely agree with you with that. And in Nottingham in particular, do you think the services provided are enough, or do you think a lot more needs to be done?
I think we've got fantastic services in Nottingham, provided by NotsSVSS, by the Women's Centre, organisations like Amara, which support children and young people following a disclosure of sexual abuse. The problem is, it's not the services themselves, because they do incredible work. The problem is that people are having to wait. I think The last I heard, which was about a month ago, the waiting list for counselling from rape crisis was 18 months. And that's because these services aren't properly funded by central government. They've been cut and cut and cut, and there's nothing left to cut. And the impact that has is that people can't get the support they need.
And
hi, could I just ask you more about the position of the Conservative government on this? Because, as you know, there used to be a Minister for Women and Equalities that's now been demoted. There's now only a Minister for Equalities, and the Minister for Women, I don't believe, even attends Cabinet, if I'm not wrong. You talked about cuts to services. Do you think we're going in the wrong direction? Do you think things are going to get worse before they get better?
I don't think... Well, I... What I want to say is I don't think things can get any worse, but every year we say that, surely things can't get worse than this, and then they do. But things don't need to get worse before they get better. People are already struggling just like beyond the imagination of many ministers and politicians who sit opposite me in Parliament. And what we need is for the government to prioritise women's safety and health and well-being.
Would you believe that a Labour government would do this better than a Conservative government, or at least the Conservative government that exists at the moment?
Yes, definitely. Look, absolutely yes. There's not a single doubt in my mind that a Labour government would be better for women than a Conservative government. Women have been punished by successive Conservative governments since 2010. The people who have disproportionately suffered from austerity has been women, disabled people, people of colour. Obviously, for people who have intersecting identities, it's been even worse. Our domestic and sexual violence services have been cut. Our pay now is lower in real terms than it was in 2008. And it's obviously disproportionately women who are in caring roles as well and are having to choose between heating and eating, or even send their children to bed hungry because they, even after having not eaten themselves, they still can't afford a proper meal for their child.
I feel like often women's rights is a political game, like when it's not prioritised enough because it's up to the role of the government themselves, whether they value it or not, whether it wins them votes essentially. Is there any sort of initiatives for cross-party support happening in Parliament at the moment?
We have all-party parliamentary groups in Parliament. So there's one on domestic violence, there are several of them, and there's also select committees. So there's the Women and Equality Select Committee, which is made up of MPs from different parties, and has led some really important inquiries, like for example on reform of the Gender Recognition Act, on the impact that COVID has had on women. So there is cross-party work. But I think we also have to be realistic about which party is going to prioritise women's rights and material change for everybody who's suffering under this government. And it's not going to be the government who's causing the suffering in the first place.
Thank you.
And with all the chaos that happened over the past few weeks with Liz Truss resigning, the fact that you're here has shown to many people, most likely, just how important this issue is. And is there anything you would want to say additionally to what your speech was today to the people of Nottingham, to the women of Nottingham in particular?
I think I would say that I know that a lot of women are already doing incredible work that many of us don't get to hear about, like through mutual aid groups, through community unions, through trade unions, through charities and like smaller third sector organisations as well. And I'd like to say to them to keep doing what you're doing and encourage everybody to be part of this fight back that we're seeing. We're seeing it with workers going on strike, with people joining tenants' unions, and it's so important that we force change from below.
And just to finish off with one final question, I just want to move away from the political talk and kind of address the fact you yourself are a woman here tonight. What does an event like this mean to you? What do you think the impact has on you as a person and as a woman?
I think for all of us it's a showing of solidarity and togetherness and sisterhood, isn't it, that we're going to keep fighting against patriarchal violence, and none of us will be free until all of us are free.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
We were also able to talk to some bystanders and get their perspectives on the march.
Hi, I'm Scarlett and I'm here with Kate and Leo, who are members of the public observing the Reclaim the Nights rally today. What do you sort of think of what you're seeing before you?
Oh, it's amazing. I wished I'd known about it. I was glad to come along and joined it.
Yeah, I'm so glad I came to see it. Like, it's amazing. I love the marching, I love the energy. It's, you know, to say how abused women are in society, it's pretty positive. Like, it's a pretty good vibe.
That's amazing to hear, because a bit further down there, the rally was receiving a lot of abuse from men.
Really?
Yes. A lot of cars shouting, because we inconvenienced them. They feel the need to call us names.
I wish I'd been there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you think that, I mean, this rally is amazing, but you say you didn't know about it.
I didn't know about it.
How would you feel about how would you be able to access it? Like, where do you think they should advertise it for next year? Because this is an annual event.
Okay, so
Facebook.
Come.
Yes.
Yeah. I go to Pride and so on, and I know I would have definitely come.
Okay. Hi, I'm Scarlett. I'm here with Ollie, David, and Tyler. And you guys have just seen the rally pass. What are your opinions?
It's absolutely no-brainer, right? My girlfriend, like, during she's trying to walk the dog, I feel worried about her walking the dog. Like, I don't want to be worried about my girlfriend taking the dog out. And that's me as a male, a straight white male, that feels I have to be worried about my girlfriend. And I mean, I can't put myself in the female's shoes, but it's not okay, in my opinion. Yeah, but I think it's really hard, like, you know, within a society that's very patriarchal, very, like, we're pushing, like, the male standards.
You guys appear, so, yeah, like, some of those supporter people we've seen, we've received a lot of abuse on the walk over here. Why, could you sort of articulate from maybe a male perspective why men feel so threatened by events like this?
Because it's all they've known, probably. It stems from birth, being, you know, even myself, I think I've had to unlearn a lot of things, even, you know, from a young age. And yeah, very sort of, as my friend said, you know, sort of patriarchal sort of norms. It's very worrying, even myself.
Yeah,
you know,
massively worrying.
Growing up from a young age, and yeah.
Yeah. I'd say growing up in this city, I wouldn't expect, I've been going out in this city a long time. I wouldn't expect males to do that, which is bad. You should expect it almost. And the fact that it's been happening a lot recently, it's been a lot in the media. And I just think, yes, I think this is a perfect movement to deal with that.
I think it's brilliant to shine the light on it. You guys are Googling us, like, we're at 25, 26, like, it's actually brilliant to shine a light on it, like...
We're all from this city.
Yeah, like, it's really good.
I find that so interesting, because obviously we've been here a couple of years, we go to the university, and the city has gained a reputation for one of the worst and spiking in the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel that your perspective is growing up in the city as a man, that
especially
the reputation the city is holding, violence against women?
Horrific, absolutely horrific. I would dread to think that women going out for a night out in Nottingham, they don't feel safe. You know, they are, you know, getting spiked, getting treated in this way. It's absolutely disgusting. And
yeah, there's not much to this city, but the fact that males are doing this in this city just makes my mind blow. It's just incredible. I don't really, like, from growing up here, I still don't understand that culture of doing it. I don't understand that.
Where do you think the vocabulary comes from specifically? Whether general culture or media, TV shows?
I'll be completely honest. For me, a massive part in my development as an individual was my friends. I was really, I grew up like 16, 17. Where it was the idea of, like, the lad culture, like Geordie Shore. Geordie Shore for me was very toxic, where the idea of, like, oh yeah, I'll meet this girl for a date, and it was so toxic. Whereas, like, up until I went to university, which I'm very fortunate to go to university, I'm very grateful that I managed to have that experience, which I know a lot of people don't. But I had that experience where I went on dates, and, you know, I had friends, like, I went to university with, and it was like the idea of, like, you'd speak about a person that was a female, that they were a person. It wasn't about being a male and getting up to whatever you get to in your private life. It was very open, like, massively for it. It's just, it's disappointing. As a male, it's just very, like, I don't know
it's
what to say. In terms of, it's
very
just very
stereotypical.
Yeah, it's just
and
very.
As PE teachers. Still a thing.
Yeah, and it's massive. Yeah. Working in secondary school is massive, and you try so much to try and stamp it out, because I see so much of them as a 16-year-old, but I go, that's actually really... I was at school 10 years ago, and I go, I grew up in the lad culture, and now I just go, it's just not okay. Like, and it wasn't okay then, but it just wasn't pressed enough, and I don't think it's still pressed enough now.
This is URN. Please.